Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
This crowd rises to its feet. Vaccaro slams it home. Garland left wing, three ball. Perfect. Garland went to the lane, locked. The Mobley pow. And Allen blocked the shot at the rim. Pow with the left hand and a foul.
Welcome to the Chasedown Podcast, part of the Cavs Media family. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. The Chasedown is presented by Fubo, the official streaming partner of the Cavs. Watch over 350 channels of live sports and TV, including Bally Sports Ohio, without cable. There's no cost and no commitment. Try for free at FuboTV.com/Cavs. Well, folks, that just happened. The Cleveland Cavaliers dropped a disappointing game on the road against the Charlotte Hornets, did not come out with the defensive intensity that they needed, and it ended up biting them in the end. Joining me today is my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how you doing, buddy?
Is it too deep of a cut to have gotten an I'm upset clip from Whiplash? is that too deep? Too heavy for an audio drop on the pod?
I think without the context, it would be tough to pick up exactly where that's from. Yes.
No, I'll tell you what, Justin. Sometimes this pod, it's like a little present I give myself, you know? It's like a little fun thing I get to do. You know, I always tell Kylie, a lot of people's husbands, their hobbies cost money. You know, mine, you know, is a revenue generator for the family. What a win. What a victory for us. Sometimes, Justin, the pod feels like a job. And on a night like tonight, I would have rather turned in. But you know what? We must kind of go forward.
We
got to talk about what happened. You know, it's funny, whoever, and you better be here, commenter, who yelled at us for only going live after wins, when we had been, you made us jinx our unbelievably good run of post-win pods with a stinker tonight.
That wasn't even true. We've gone live after losses primarily lately, and this was among probably the most painful of them. And frankly, like, I'm sensing...
That guy needs to apologize. I want him in the comments after this one apologizing to us, because we've just been doing the Lord's work over here, Justin.
I sense your tone. And honestly, I'm getting the vibe that you're more frustrated with this one than I am.
No, I'm mostly doing a bit about that.
Fair.
It's fine.
It would be very convenient to blame it on anybody but the players that it went
well,
out there
it is
tonight.
That guy. It is that guy more than anyone. Just kidding,
fair
buddy.
Enough.
I think his name was Maverick. We're teasing, buddy.
Okay.
We're teasing.
Anyways, as convenient as it would be to, you know, find some other source of blame, I think really it comes down to the players tonight. Like, I think defensive effort, this is something we know that the Cavs are capable of doing. Frankly, we even saw it a little bit down the stretch. Like, I think when you talk about the Cavs coming out flat defensively, I'm always going to start with the leaders of this team. And frankly, I thought this was the worst game, at least for the first three quarters. I thought this was the worst defensive game I've seen Garland play this season. I thought Jared Allen was not effective on the defensive end as well, biting on a lot of pump fakes, just trying. Honestly, I felt like it was a team-wide thing where even though the defensive effort and the point of attack presence wasn't really there, they were trying to kind of get the box score defensive stats. They were trying to gamble for a block. They were trying to gamble for steals and frankly, just kind of let guys get by them, expecting that somebody else was going to clean it up. And, you know, that ended up costing them in the end. In the fourth quarter, you know, I saw possessions where Darius is staying in front of his guy and poking the ball out in a dribble and forcing, you know, tough inbound possessions with 3 seconds left on the shot clock. Like I saw those type of instances. We know that they are capable of doing it. And they just team-wide didn't come out with the defensive effort that's needed. And I know just like we want to blame it on, you know, YouTube commenters and things like that. I've seen people say, well, you know, coach to get them prepared or you know, one blame or source of blame or the other. You shouldn't need that in these type of instances when there's 10 games left of the regular season. You are in a intense seedings battle, and you know, like the reason I'm not even that frustrated is because, you know, sometimes we have to acknowledge, hey, we are observing what's occurring as fans. We don't have any input over kind of how this is going to unfold. And the team that we like is going to have to live with the consequences of their actions. And this is the type of loss and effort late in the season that can jeopardize your ability to go as far as you want in the postseason. We saw this a couple of years ago where, you know, the shorthanded Cavs dropped a lot of games down the stretch and fell into the play-in. Their road to achieve their goals this season, it may become a whole lot harder if they're not able to make up for what was absolutely a should-win game by stealing some of the games that you don't really feel like they would have a good chance down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, a lot to hit on there.
I just kind of rapid-fired at you there. Sorry about that.
You did. So I guess what I'll try to do is just focus on the macro. We can hit on a lot of the specifics. And, you know, sometimes you have losses where you just kind of want to throw out the specifics. Because it wasn't their night. I don't think this is one of those. And I think we're going to have to dive into all the things that went wrong and the ways they went wrong to really be instructive as to why this was such a disappointing game.
Yep.
But first, the macro, to your point. You know, this is like one of those things where it's like, you know, the team's asked to be taken seriously as a real contender in the East when you're in a pitched battle against a team completely decimated by injuries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the worst two teams in the league. You can't do this if you want to be taken seriously. If you want, these are the kind of games you can't lose.
Yeah.
If you want to lock up home court in the first round of the playoffs, which is now, you know, it feels less likely than it does likely, you know, based on how tight everything is around them.
Yeah. The only thing they had going for them tonight was Orlando losing to Golden State, which was fortunate. But now the Knicks have overtaken them as the 3 seed. And that's a tougher, you know, that's a tougher hill to climb because the Knicks have the tiebreaker as well.
Yeah, that feels, you know, it's not done and dusted. There's still 9 games left, but like they're going to now they need some help and they need to far outperform what they've been. You know, just at the beginning of at the end of the All-Star break, we talked about how they almost certainly were going to surpass their win total from last year. They have to go, I believe, 7-2 the rest of the way just to match.
And honestly, I think that 7-2 is probably what will be needed to give them a chance to go out there and get that 3 seed. Like, I believe last pod I said 7-3 would get them there, or at least give them a very good shot to get the 3 seed.
Kind of can't lose to Charlotte if you want that, though. You know,
right. Like, you would assume that that is one of the 7. So, you know, now that you have to go on a 5-game West Coast road trip, you're playing some good teams. You're playing teams that almost exclusively are going to be in kind of the playoff and seeding hunt. You're going to have to earn this, man. Like, the thing is, it is impossible really to talk about this season in any stretch of the Cavs this season without, you know, heaps of context on understanding who they were playing, who was available, who was playing through various ailments and things like that. But when you get to this time of the year, as much as we have an understanding of everything that went into them getting here, you know, it's now time that you just kind of have what you have. Nobody is fully healthy. You have to make do. You have to make the adjustments to, you know, whatever you're dealing with it as an organization and as a team. If certain guys aren't 100%, you got to find your ways to maximize what they are still bringing to the table. The Cavs have to do that now. It's time to just focus on the results. Like we can talk about the context when it comes to year in review, but the time is running out to put yourself in position to achieve your goals that you have for this year.
And the reality is a lot of these losses, you know, they're 3-7 in their last 10, which is just really, you know, obviously disappointing. And some of these losses are against teams that are, you know, you can't play the Donnie card in most of these matchups. These are games that, you know, you lose to Miami when they're down Bam and in Hero. You lose to Minnesota down Cat. You lose to Houston down Shingun. You lose to Brooklyn down everyone.
You started with the worst teams to point out from that stretch.
Sure.
but you're right. Like they've dropped too many teams.
I'm saying that they are playing teams that are as banged up or, you know, nearly as banged up as them that mm-hmm. have also had to play through an 82 game season and they're just not executing well. You know, there's a reason why I wasn't grumpy at the end of a 2020 first quarter on Monday, where I thought the Cavs process was good and they just weren't making shots. That stuff that is kind of out of your control. It's the attention to detail. It's the focus. And also like just the fact that, yeah, they played better defense in the fourth, but they also got themselves into the bonus like with 9 minutes left because, you know, when you try to turn that kind of thing on all of a sudden and start playing really hard, you play out of control.
Yeah.
And how many possessions did they fail to finish in even in that quarter where they only allowed, I think, 18 points just because they were out of control trying to ramp themselves up into the level of focus they should have had the whole game. So, like, I think that
I agree with that.
You know, there's just a lot of that lack of focus, you know, balls just hitting off their hands and falling out of bounds, guys that are not in rhythm with one another. If we thought that the beginning of the year was a slog, I mean, this is a significantly worse stretch of play than the beginning of the year was, where they were basically playing 500 ball.
Yeah. The loss, you know, the first win against Charlotte broke up their first three-game losing streak, first losing streak since December. Like, on the surface, that looks very good, but you're correct in that this stretch, it was very much like last January, where you're going win, loss, and you lose three in a row. You finally get that win against Charlotte, and you're not able to build upon that success. And frankly, like, I want to get your thoughts on this, because this is kind of how I felt watching them in that first half. We had talked about on the last podcast how we kind of wanted them to use this game almost as a practice in some ways to, okay, let's go out there and execute offensively. Let's go in and run our sets, make sure that, you know, the offense is flowing, we're getting our threes up, and we can kind of like use this as an in-season opportunity to do that. I thought they did that. Like, I thought offensively things were rolling. The three-point rate was good. For the most part, guys were being decisive with their cuts and whatnot. That focus on the offensive end was just not mirrored defensively. And it's almost like they felt, hey, we are getting everything we want in this quarter. They're not going to be able to keep up with us offensively. And, you know, that kind of approach, that kind of like confidence that, okay, like, we're just going to do what we do and we'll get the win. Like, that is not this team's identity. That is not how they go win games. Like, they don't go.
I don't know how many suffocates the Cavs had tonight, but I would venture to say it wasn't more than one or right. two.
Yeah. There really wasn't those kind of possessions out there. And when the Cavs win games, you know, even against teams like this, when you look at over the last 3 years, basically kind of the Garland, Mobley, and Allen era, they've won games because they lock in on defense. The effort is high. They win the 50-50 ball battles. Like, they don't just go out there and out-talent teams, even though they do have a lot of talent. And you know, I just feel like, again, this is one of those games where I don't think you can put it on anybody but the guys out there. Like, they've been through enough of these experiences where, you know, these disappointing games that you should have won down the stretch of a season have put them in a tough position. Typically, you know, you hope that those type of failures and those setbacks lead to experience, lead to those growth opportunities, lead to that sense of, we don't want this to happen again. And as frustrating as it is, like, this clearly seems like it's history repeating itself to some extent.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Yeah. Oof, man. This is one of those losses that, I mean, I would say it's way worse than the Portland loss midseason, just in terms of the time,
yep,
the urgency needed.
And just in terms of, we saw them have a very good defensive effort against Charlotte two nights ago, right? Like, they took care of business. They, even though, you know, the offense wasn't clicking in that first quarter, you go out there and you hold them to 92 points. That absolutely should have been possible tonight. I know you have it in your notes, so I'm stealing it a little bit, but like, just the fact that, you know, Charlotte had Grant Williams at the five and they didn't take advantage of that, right? Like, just
right, let's start it up, buddy.
Okay.
Because you know, I think the worst accusation I would kind of make of what the Cavaliers were doing, especially on offense in the second half, was they were playing such decisive, smart basketball. Like, yeah, they were hitting shots, but they were generating really good looks, consistent wide open buckets. The entire fourth quarter, I would define what they were playing is as aimless basketball.
Mm-hmm.
They subbed out Nick Richards with, I want to say, like 4 or 5 minutes left. Someone can check me on that, and it doesn't actually matter. And they played Grant Williams at the five, the Cavs shortly after get Mobley back in. So they're playing 2 7-footers against a Grant Williams-led rim protection unit.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't attack it once. They were sleepwalking through their sets as though they were just playing against a normal lineup. Like, there was no intention with the sets they were running to try to get the ball to the bigs going towards the hoop with advantage. Mm-hmm. There was no slip into a big to big pass. There was not anything. They were just running normal spread pick and roll without a lot of spacing, without any real intent behind what they were doing, you know?
Yeah.
And to that end, man, you can't start possessions with 13 seconds left on the shot clock, Justin.
My main thing is that because we saw, even within this game, pretty good offensive execution for large stretches of it. Like, you know, the second and third quarter, 27, 26 points, like, that's nothing to write home about, but I felt like the process was good in those quarters and whatnot. They fell back into those old habits of waiting far too long in the shot clock to initiate possessions. You know, I thought for the most part, Darius in the fourth quarter was better. It was very frustrating because to start this game, obviously, like, the defense jumped off the screen. Like, he just was not present.
He wasn't trying. There were a lot of possessions where he was not running hard.
Yeah, and Micic was just getting by him with very little resistance. And, like, once you have that kind of breakdown at the point of attack, your responsibilities as a defense, even against a team like Charlotte, it just gets too difficult. Like, there are one or two passes away from a very clean look, and it just breaks down from there. And when you have a night where most other guys aren't really performing well on the defensive end as well, like, you're going to lead to kind of these catastrophic failures. But I thought, like, his turnovers, most of them occurred in the opening couple minutes of the game. The first one, I'm not sure what happened. I think it went through Mobley's hands. I'll need to see that in the rewatch. But then the two after that were just, you know, not handling the ball well, and the ball would go to the Hornets, basically, right? I thought, after that point, like, the playmaking was good throughout the night.
That's the nicest way to describe a turnover I've ever heard. Not handling the ball, and the ball went to the Hornets.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's basically what it was. It wasn't even like there was an attempted pass there, right? Like, he's handling the ball, all of a sudden it's not in his hands, and it went to the Hornets. But, like, I thought, you know, sometimes he gets those
turnovers. That's some real passive language out of you, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you for calling me out on that. I needed it. But I thought, like, some nights he's going to force passes and he throws it to the other team and, you know, there's just not the zip on it, or it's, okay, well, what's the read there? It wasn't those type of turnovers tonight. Like, the playmaking was very good, I thought, overall from him. And even down the stretch, I thought his fourth quarter was fairly strong. But, man, like, it's just so frustrating to see, you know, he rolls his ankle on that one possession where he has a turnover. I thought maybe there was contact there, but I get not calling that in that spot. That ankle,
you gotta earn those spots, man.
Yeah, I agree with that. So I'm fine with a no call in that spot. I'm starting to get concerned, though, about that ankle. I think that's the third time in the last week that he's rolled that particular ankle. It happened against the Pels. It happened against the Wolves. And now, you know, against the Hornets. That's starting to get a little concerning because, you know, there was a direct line in terms of the trajectory going up, and now it's not. But I thought, like, there's enough possessions where he was moving well defensively later in the game that I don't think there's any way that you can excuse the effort to start the game. Like, the defensive effort has to be better.
JB talked about in postgame. He felt like they didn't really respect their opponents, felt like the closeouts were lazy, and I think
here's the quote. The quote is, we were lazy in rotations. We were lazy in closeouts. We weren't good defensively. We didn't have the grit we needed to win the game. We didn't bring our best effort tonight. Like, I agree with all that. And honestly,
when what coach says matches what my eyes say, you know, that says a lot, you know? Yeah. And like to the Darius front, you know, it's just, you know, whether it's the ankle, whether it's just not getting in rhythm, you know, it just feels like we're trying too hard to find the nuggets of good stuff, you know, when we're used to grading him on a way higher curve. Mm-hmm. You know, I was looking, you know, these kind of blip seasons are not uncommon for young point guards. You know, mm-hmm. you'll see it. I mean, Halliburton's having a second half of a blip season right now, yeah. you know? And I hope Pacers fans are giving him a little more grace than Darius is getting. But, you know, who knows? But, you know, you think about like De'Aaron Fox, who looked like a rising star, then plateaued super hard, and now is, you know, back on the rising star trajectory. So, like, you know, you see it happen, but, like, again, on a night where the team just needs something, yeah. you know, the point guard is the one walking it up the floor, starting the possession at 13 seconds left. And, like, I can excuse that when your team's ISO game is going well. I don't like it ever, but I can at least understand it. But mm-hmm. on a night in a half where nothing is going right for you and the game's slipping out of your hands, to not go out of your way to set yourself up to succeed, that I think is why I'm so disappointed with this effort tonight. Is there was some poor play, there was some poor focus, but then there was just like straight up like not winning process. And
mm-hmm. I agree.
And like I just think they have to, I mean, I don't know how to say it other than they have to be better. They can't, if they want to be the level of team we think they are, they've got to do better. They have to be decisive in attack. What, I mean, and how many times do we see really, really good teams? They're picking at scabs, you know, they see you run out a lineup that has a weakness and they're attacking it. And like, you know, I think a lineup that has Pokuševski and it has some holes to attack. You know, a lineup with Grant Williams at the five has some holes to attack for a team with 2 7-footers on the floor.
Yeah.
And them not playing that, like, I just feel like this is one of the losses where you could, like, yeah, they're tired. Yeah, they're not fully healthy, but they're getting pretty close to fully healthy. Like, again,
That's why I didn't bring up any of that stuff, because, like I said earlier, you have what you have. You need to go out.
Missing two rotation players is like pretty normal, you know.
Right.
This is a team that won 44 games 2 years ago.
And frankly, like we saw enough offensively in this game to like there was no reason. Like you don't have to bring up any of the context stuff in this situation, because like they had enough to win this game. Without a doubt, they had enough to win this game. And the only reason I was bringing up that late turnover was because after he rolled his ankle, it was basically Karras initiating a lot down the stretch. The Darius turnover happened with 2:16. After that possession, you have a Karras turnover. I believe he threw it to Grant Williams. You have the possession where get it to Allen. He misses both free throws. And then Karras traveling on the layup attempt, right? Like, it was rough. And the tough thing is, like, Merrill helped them get back into the game. But at the same time, that's another one of those situations where he had such a long shift where he was doing it. It was tough to then get him back out there in those closing minutes, especially when you needed stops and there were times where it got exposed. You know, from a rotation standpoint, I understood what they were doing earlier in the game, which is, okay, we were trying to get Mobley and Allen minutes together. We're trying to build that chemistry. But, you know, I thought that they did a more effective job of that later in the game, and there was some staggering of them later in the game. But that kind of first bench shift where it was CPJ, Merrill, Okoro, Niang, and Tristan, like, that's just too much defensive responsibility on Okoro, and that's just too much playmaking responsibility on Craig Porter Jr. Like, it is just that lineup got them back into the game, that got Charlotte back into the game. I missed the first 2 minutes of the second quarter because I had to go to the bathroom, and that's a very slow process when you're in an air cast. But I came back and I was like, whoa, what happened? Whoa, what's this lineup? Like, it was just kind of like a shock that, okay, the game is back, like, really in question here in terms of, you know, Charlotte has a chance to take the lead. And, you know, credit that didn't go back to it. But I just thought, wasn't a good enough job of kind of insulating yourself. If you're going to do that approach where you're trying to get the starters' minutes together, there's better combinations that you could have gone to in that particular spot.
Yeah, it does. That lineup definitely is where it felt like the Hornets kind of got reconnected to the game.
Agreed.
I think is the way I would frame it. And yeah, sometimes you just have a lineup where, like, you know, you hope those lineups pleasantly surprise you. But the second I saw that five, someone was like, how about this one? And, you know, was pretty quickly proven correct. So,
yeah, it's tough. Like, it's tough to stay connected when you got a lineup like that. It's not tough for us to stay connected on this here podcast, though, Carter. Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Zoom. 500,000 businesses connect using Zoom, a single platform for phone, chat, workspaces, events, apps, and video. Zoom enables real-time collaboration for teams around the globe. Zoom, how the world connects.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200,000 for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billings, scheduling, and more. With a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay, so you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Picasso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's PACASO.com.
Yeah.
Well done, buddy. Let's talk about something fun, because I'm sad right now.
All right.
Let's talk about Max. Max is back, baby. And I felt like his minutes were pretty much the only minutes that felt really, really good tonight. I thought he looked great.
I agree with that. I've been sitting on this Max topic for a little bit because, you know, sometimes, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Max, I've said this before, but I think he's already one of my favorite Cavs role players. Like, I just love what he brings to the table. But, you know, if you, not just in this game, but I think overall, this is something that I've really felt with him and his presence this season, and, you know, a much needed positive angle for tonight. But what I really like about Max Strus is when you look at the roster construction of the Cavs, I feel like a lot of guys are very rigid in what they bring to the table, right? Like Karras coming off the bench, he brings playmaking, but it's really kind of confined to the pick and roll. A lot of it is, you know, getting the bigs going, not a lot of kickouts to the perimeter. The guards.
And on a night it's not there, like tonight, it's really not there.
Right. The guards have their strengths that they bring to the table, but, you know, there's some limitations because of their size. The bigs are very good at what they do, but there's some limitations because of their inability at this point to consistently space the floor. Max, what I love is that he's that connector between the more rigid aspects of this team because of his ability to do a little bit of everything, right? Like, he's able to provide the playmaking. He's able to, you know, space the floor. His intensity, like the way that he communicates on defense and the way that he runs through his actions, I think it kind of is a tide that raises all boats. And like, I agree. Like, I thought he was one of the few guys that was locked in consistently tonight. I think he brings a seriousness to the table. We were actually discussing this.
Seriousness does feel like his number one, like, for a team that can get a little floaty, can be a little, you know, dependent on the joy side, like having just like a grump in Strus, Mad Max.
Yeah.
You know, I think kind of goes a long way for them.
And I'm interested to get your reaction to this, because we were discussing it in the Discord, and I said, what I like about Max is he brings a physicality to the table. Like, there's a seriousness, there's a physicality. But I feel like it's a little different than a physicality of a guy that like Marcus Morris brings to the table. I feel like Marcus Morris is flagrant 2 physicality, while Max Strus is flagrant 1 physicality. Like, he's going to be making a basketball play, but there's a little bit extra there.
Yeah, I think I would even say he's the elbow in your stomach under the hoop and no one sees it.
He's going to jam every single cutter. Like, when he sees a cutter, he's like, hell yeah, this is my chance. Yeah.
And like, again, I just think like every second he wasn't out there, I was just begging for him to get another shift. And I know he was on a minutes restriction tonight,
yeah.
But you know, especially on a night where Karis, you know, had a really rough one. And you know, Karis has those games where the second that first shot leaves, you go, it's not going to be his night from three. And it was certainly one of those. He went 0-5 from three, had 4 turnovers against his 8 assists, and you know, 2 of 9 from the field for 4 points, which is just really, you know, that it's tough to win that way.
Yeah.
When he's getting 30 minutes.
When you talk about like this 3-7 stretch, I feel like there are multiple kind of crunch times where Karis has had a lot of kind of ball handling opportunities, and they just haven't gone particularly well.
Yeah, so you know, I think like they really were begging for more Strus minutes, because you know, Merrill was getting beat up on defense a little bit. You know, Charlotte was playing, even though they were playing really small in the front court, they were playing a lot of Brandon Miller at the 2 over the course of this game, where they kind of took Terrence man out, and there was a lot of Poku or Bertans in there, which again, you should be able to win those matchups. I mean, you just need to, you know, I'm saying Poku and Bertans was your upshift in physicality and size. But you know, there were just a lot of possessions where, you know, if Merrill wasn't perfectly squared up at the beginning of the possession, it was hard for him to recover. So you needed some Strus size and physicality with his shooting and general toughness on a night where Karis didn't have it. So every minute he wasn't out there, you did really miss it. I think the team will be very, very well served to have him back, especially once that minute restriction goes away and they can kind of play that game where if they need to go down to 7 guys on a night, they can, you know?
Yeah.
Because they do have some guys who can play heavy minutes. And so you know, on a night where Karis doesn't have it, you can just say, Karis, sorry, buddy. We're gonna play Max 39-40 minutes.
Yeah.
And get that from him on a night where, you know, Isaac had a really, really bad game.
Yeah.
Again, one of those 7 points, 2 rebounds, 0 assists, 0 steals, 0 blocks.
And I feel like he has been more hesitant offensively recently. Like, I think when he's really rolling it, and even when he's not, like, I always felt like the processing speed, at least for playmaking opportunities, was there. But there was a few times where, like, the ball would come to him in the corner, you're getting a sharp close out, and, like, he had DG coming as a trailer, or he had another read that just wasn't really made in time, or he had kind of made his mind up about, okay, I'm going to attack the closeout and drive and you know, dump it off to Allen and then relocate. Like, there were too many of those possessions where he just wasn't seeing the floor as well as he typically does. I just, like, when Isaac and Karis are both having, you know, this rough of a night, it does make things a lot more difficult, especially with Max being on that minutes restriction, as you mentioned.
Yeah, it was, it's just one of those games, man, where it's just like, just kind of felt like, you know, Mobley disappeared for long stretches. Like, he had that first quarter where he, you know, I think he finished on a, you know, an end-to-end play where he just kind of elevated over bridges, and he did that in the last game too. And then you just stop seeing them mash or do anything. Like, if you're not going to play a sophisticated game, you have to play a physical game. And they weren't doing either of those things on offense or defense, really. And like, again, I mean, that's how you lose a game to a team that you really just can't lose to at this time of the year. Mm-hmm. With the stakes as high as they are in the standings. I did want to do a little bit of challenging my own instincts. I'm going to pivot off this game just a little bit, Justin.
Okay.
Because I was sitting here, I was grumping during the post game, and as you know, I'm wont to do. And I was like, man, you know, it just stinks that this team got better in a lot of ways, you know, addressed a lot of the roster deficiencies they had, didn't really lose much out the door, and aren't going to, and likely won't have a better record year over year. And I was like, and then I had this, you know, I had this thought, and again, this is all just living up in my headspace.
Yeah,
I was like, man, it stinks. Like, and we were beat up last year too. So like, you know, like, yeah, we were beat up this year. Yeah. We had some rough luck stretches, but we had rough luck last year. So I went ahead and just did a quick little audit of games missed this year versus last year. And I actually was pretty freaking surprised, Justin, by just how much more star-crossed we've been at the top.
Okay.
And I do think I'm trying to be fair on a night where I'm feeling frustrated, you know, because like, obviously I just want the team to do great and I'm rooting for them. So I was like, I wanted just to check, and some of the numbers are pretty jarring. Last year, Donovan missed 14 games. With 9 games left, this year he's already missed 24. Last year, Darius missed 13 games.
It was only 13?
Only 13.
Okay.
I checked. He played 69 games last year.
Yeah, there you go. Nice.
This year, he has missed 24. Same as Donovan. Last year, Evan missed 3 games. This year, he has missed 33. Dean is our only major rotation piece that missed more year over year. He missed 38 last year. He's missed 19 this year. Max has missed 13 games.
Yeah. And he last never misses year, games.
Jarrett is the other one. He missed 14 last year. He's only missed 6 this year. But even Okoro's missed 4 more games than he did last year. So, like, at the very top, like, I mean, that's like a gulf of, like, you know, 40 or 50 games missed from your best 3-4 players.
Yeah.
And like, it does matter. It doesn't matter in the micro, aka a loss tonight that you absolutely should have won, but it did help me contextualize my feelings about a regular season that I thought, you know, I was thinking they could be a mid to high 50s win team. If everything broke right, and then they go 18-2 in January and February, and you go, okay, man, it has clicked. They're getting healthy. They're getting ready to take another leap. And yeah, they didn't get healthy. They actually got less healthy somehow. Mm-hmm. But you know, I think also that stretch kind of spoiled us a little bit on, like, most teams do bad when they're beat up. I'm not trying to contextualize it. I'm not trying to excuse, you know, a loss tonight. And if you listen to the beginning of the podcast, you heard me not excuse some of the other losses, but like, it does add up. It is cumulative. So
there is,
I guess,
sure,
all you're really hoping for is that everyone comes back healthy. You know, it would really stink if Donnie comes back and is on one leg or, you know, on one and a half legs. You hope everyone comes back healthy, and you just hope they can, like, you know, catch lightning in a bottle here, because the reality is they just haven't had very much time together for the best players on their team. And that's really hard to overcome.
Yeah. And I think sometimes when people, you know, turn us into caricatures and make assumptions of what we talk about on this podcast, like, they assume that we're the type of podcast that, oh, everything, like, it's 82-0, we're going to win a championship. Like, that's never really been us. We're not really a predictions podcast either. We just kind of discuss what's going on. And, you know, when things are good, sometimes we'll catch some shit about, you know, focusing too much on where they can get better, and when things are bad, we'll catch some hell over, you know, talking about how, you know, adding context to the situation and that getting categorized as excuses. But like, the reality is, like, right now, based on what we're seeing, like, they are not in their top form. We have seen them play better this season. We've seen them play better since their time together, but they're not in top form, and you kind of have who you have as you're going into the playoffs. And like, obviously, you and I, we were going to sit here and we're going to root for them every single night. We're going to hope for the absolute best, but it is getting to that point where there's just not a lot of games left. So you're kind of banking on hope, right? Like, because you just don't have this track record of, okay, things are rolling, you're going to feel good about their current form going into the playoffs.
You got
to
feel different if you're in our shoes than you are in Miami's shoes, a team that is playing worse and been worse all year, you know, because they have pedigree.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's another way to kind of add context to it. Like, the Cavs have been sliding for a while here, and they have finally slipped to a point where they are in that range of surging teams like the Knicks and Magic, right? Like, the year-long aggregate win total, like, these teams that are on fire and feel great.
Great point. Great
their
point.
Their win total for the season is where the Cavs are currently at, right? Like, you have to kind of take that into consideration.
We've fallen into being peers with teams like the Knicks and the Magic. And
they've been through their injuries too, right? Like, Orlando has gone healthier, and I think that's been a big part of their run. The Knicks are currently having the Cavs January, basically, of like, we're shorthanded, but we're going out there, we're rolling teams, we're really in a groove right now. And like, if the Cavs don't get it together, right? Like, if they fall, I think the floor is five in terms of where they would end up in the standings.
Yeah, I mean, they're 3.5 up on Indy, who isn't playing particularly well. I would be stunned if they fell to six. I mean,
I still, and again, this is me being an optimist, I still feel all right about four. But like, let's say they do fall to five, like, just looking at the schedules, you know that I've thoroughly examined Orlando's schedule at this point. But like, if the Cavs fall short of their expectations this year, right? Like, there is going to be a lot of context to it, but like, that's the type of situation that, even if there is understandable, you know, reasons and contributing factors, the reality of how competitive the league is and whatnot is, it might put the Cavs in a position where they have to make very tough decisions. And
fairness is not always the most desire, is not always the outcome that fairness is a luxury, man.
Yeah.
You know, you don't always get to make fair decisions. Like, we always talk about, like, especially at the end of seasons, you have to choose which lessons to learn from. Sometimes you have to make calls with incomplete data sets. That's just life in the league. No one gets unlimited time to figure everything out.
And the thing that I find comforting is I ultimately have a lot of confidence in the decision makers that the Cavs have. And, you know, I also have an understanding that these guys are going to have so much more data to make those decisions than we ever will. Like, you know, we can talk about what certain guys are going through and whatnot, or what it seems like guys are going through, but they know more specifically than we do, right? Like, in terms of what guys have played through, people are feeling in the locker room, what they've worked on practice, what comes down to execution and what is schematic, right? Like, all of these kind of things that are really hard to kind of assess from the outside, they're going to have that information. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. There's reports out there that Donovan Mitchell is close to a return to the lineup. As you mentioned, hopefully that when he does return, it looks good. I think it's just kind of fair to assume at this point, like everyone in the league, but especially with him coming off of this injury, I don't know if we're going to get 100%, but you know, you have to work with what you have. You have to find ways to maximize what you have out of these guys. And, you know, it's now an amplified pressure, but we've seen this team respond from bad losses. We've seen this team respond, you know, against tougher competition. And I hate seeing them play down to the level of their competition. Like, that's really frustrating from a fan perspective, especially when these games are so important. But I do understand that they also have the ability to bounce back, to win in some of these games, to rally on the road. This was one of the best road teams, or the best road team in the league for a lot of this season. So it's doable, But I also have to acknowledge, being honest with myself, that a lot of this is hope-based because they just haven't been, they just haven't had it.
Yeah, and it's not, this isn't a 2-week stretch. This is a month and a half of up and down play. Again, they've only won 2 games in a row once post All-Star break. So like, I think while, you know, you talk about the kind of the relative confidence that they can hold on to the 4 seed, you know, I think the macro kind of body of work this team has put together says yes. But, you know, depending on what lens you're looking through, their post All-Star break lens makes you think, yeah, there's no way. So like, yeah, like I think you kind of have to, the Cavs kind of have to take a loss like tonight. And I hope they kind of are like, I hope this is one of those losses that isn't just a bummer, but kind of serves as a catalyst, serves as a, is this who we are? Is this really how we're going to end the year? Are we going to, do we really want to, do we want to limp into the playoffs and just try to find it then? Or do we want to just throw all that out and say, hey, we've got 9 games. We've got like 3 weeks basically until the postseason starts. How are we going to take it? How seriously do we want to take ourselves? How seriously do we want to take this run up? And show that we're a team that, and show ourselves that we're a team that is a legit team in the postseason. Cause like, you know, you can't dwell, but I mean, this is 2 really rough losses in 4 days. Yeah. And so you know, you really, really hope that, that they can make the most of these kind of lessons, not to go back to the rebuild era, and find something, because right now it looks like a team that is, you know, I said it, they're playing it at their worst, they're playing aimless basketball, and it's been kind of an aimless stretch since the All-Star break.
Yep. And it's got to turn around, right? Like it's now or never. You got 9 games left. Let's see what they do with it. So it's going to be interesting. Hopefully, you know, the guys that are returning lineup, Mobley and Strus, get into that rhythm. One of the kind of bullet points and game notes that I've had from the last 2 games is I'm actually really impressed by Mobley's processing speed as a playmaker in these 2 games. But, you know, there's too much to talk about tonight other than that. But that's definitely
other
something.
Other than the play, Mrs. Lincoln.
Yeah. That is something that I'm at least going to be continuing to track of. Okay, is this going to continue when it's a defense that's a little more stout than Charlotte? Does it translate in some of these games? But, you know, as he and Max work their way off the minute restriction and Donovan gets reintegrated and hopefully Wade comes back, you know, hopefully they can find a little bit of a rhythm here. But I'm using hope a lot here, and I'm definitely aware of that. So we will be back after this weekend. Hopefully, again, the Cavs have some productive wins there and can maybe steal one against Denver and take care of business at home against Philly. Joel Embiid will not be back for that Philly game, but it does sound like he's going to be back at some point in the regular season. So that's something to think about too as we head into the playoffs. Big thanks to everyone that tuned in live on YouTube. Make sure you like and subscribe. Click the notification bell so you know when we're going live. If you're listening via podcast and you want to support us, leave us a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. If you want to be part of Chasedown's exclusive Discord chat, send a screenshot of our video to chasedownpod@gmail.com. However you choose to support us, we really do appreciate it. Make sure you guys are staying safe out there. Until next time, go Cavs.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks,
Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.